Hey, this is MuckDog from thewonderbird.blogspot.com, and it is Saturday, November 20th, 2010. And this is Audio Boo number 32. And once again, I'm driving. Driving's a good time to do an Audio Boo, as long as you got a microphone hooked up. Anyways, I'm just leaving a buddy's house. I helped him move today. He moved from a small house to a large house, but we had to take three 20-foot six, a truck that had a 26-foot storage bin, and three trips, lots of heavy stuff. Fortunately, there were seven guys, and but the problem is all of us are kind of white-collar guys, not too many blue-collar guys, and we needed a little bit more muscle, but we did a pretty good job. Lifted a lot of heavy stuff, so anyways. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about how, you know, my market timing methodology, and this is probably going to be part one of a few different audio boos. So I'm going to break it down into like the black box that I mentioned from time to time, you know, using kind of a past historical references, almost like a history or like a calendar, using a calendar to time the market. Then also looking at price volume action. I think that's about it. Maybe a little bit about the Fed and what the Fed and the federal government are doing for longer term kind of viewpoints. And of course, then I also read a lot of opinions. I mean, I read a ton of opinions out there. So this will be part one. I'll talk a little bit about the black box. So the black box came about. It's been, you know, I think I've had it now for over 10 years. I can't remember because I used to not call it the black box. It started out, you know, I started getting some software when software was coming of age and maturing, and there was data from the stock market to that you could run historical comparisons and back tests and that sort of thing. I started trying to find a way to come up with a mechanical system. I know probably that's the first thing most of us do, right? We look for, you know, the stochastics, the MACD, or maybe we look for, you know, just different moving averages, looking for crossovers to, you know, spot the turn of a trend, a fast line crossing over a slow line, or, you know, something like that. And that's actually fairly valuable anyways, because it does spot trends. A lot of folks use the, like even today, you know, you'll read about the 9-day moving average, the 21-day moving average, or, you know, 50-day moving average and 200-day moving averages. But I didn't have much luck with that, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me because a lot of times I was getting whipsawed a lot. And, you know, I wasn't doing horribly. As a matter of fact, in the 90s, it didn't really matter because the market was on fire. So even if you made a mistake, you know when you bought, when you made a mistake buying, the market just kind of rescued you and bailed you out from your mistake anyway. So it didn't really matter that much. But I got whipsawed a few times. I said, well, this is kind of dumb. There's got to be a better way. And I realized, you know, there's not really a better way just using a mechanical system. So I came up with an idea to, I wrote some formulas in some software call from AmiBroker. I didn't like I tried some of the other software packages. You know, they all have free trials, right? So I tried some of the other ones, and they had a lot of canned formulas. You know, stuff that everybody else was trying and using, but I didn't have a lot of luck with that. I mean, some of them, you know, look like they work, but, and the other thing too is my time frame. My time frame is a little longer term. I'm not looking to flip nickels because, you know, I work for a living. So I work for a living, you know, basically working 8 to 5, and I don't have time to sit there and watch the stock market constantly. So I needed something that I could come home, run a scan, see what I want to do, and then, you know, maybe set some targets and then act on it over the next few days if things played out the way I thought they were going to play. So the system I use, I wrote in AmiBroker, and basically what it does is it looks for, let's just say double tops, triple tops, double bottoms, triple bottoms, and it looks for divergences from the last time the market was down in those areas. And it doesn't have to be an exact retest. It can be within a few percent. You know, for example, back in late August, the black box was starting to give me buy signals, as far as saying, hey, you know, we're back near the vicinity of the previous low from earlier in the summer, so take a look. That's what it was telling me, right? That's kind of what I do, and it basically tells me to take a look, and I don't follow it religiously, as you know, if you read the blog or if you listen to the audio booze. You know, I sometimes my mechanical system will say this, and all it is really is it's an alert. It doesn't mean that the market's going to, you know, ramp up or sell off. It just means that, hey, we're back near where we were before, and either volume is lower or volume is higher than it was the last time we were here. So take a look and see what else is going on. And it seems to work pretty well. Even by itself, it seems to work pretty well. Although, of course, it's never exact. And, of course, you can get whipsawed just like everything else. But it does serve me well as far as, especially for the intermediate term, you know, am I going to, you know, change my beta? Am I going to, you know, go into NASDAQ stocks, or am I going to just sit around and, you know, dividend-paying utility stocks? It works great with ETFs. It works great with some individual stocks. Some stocks it doesn't work that well in, especially stocks that are extremely volatile. So stocks that are, you know, with a really high beta, it doesn't work too good with them. It works really good with the, let's just say the, like a general moving average. Stocks that have a beta of close to one. I mean, it can go maybe a little higher, a little lower. Probably a little lower it works. I don't know. I hardly ever buy low beta stocks. But that's really what I look for, or what the black box is looking for. So that's what it's telling me. Are we testing, retesting a previous benchmark? Are we testing support? Are we testing resistance? And, you know, what are the volume and what's the volume look like? And then it gives me a green arrow and up arrow, and then I have to take a look at other things. But usually it can be a catalyst for starting me to take a look at some of the other things that I normally do. And even though I have multiple things that I look at when I try to time the market, they don't all have to be green arrow, red arrow, some of them. It kind of depends what's going on and where we are. I mean, have we had a, you know, 2 months of straight rallies or sell-offs, or are we just meandering around? Or you always have to take a look at that. And that's where it always gets subjective, right? It always comes down to my opinion. I mean, how am I going to interpret the signals? Because even though the black box is mechanical, I don't do mechanical trading. So it's just one of the factors. That's it. I'm tired. I am going home. I've got to shower and change because I'm going to another party, just like last night, another kind of Thanksgiving party with some other friends. And this one should be huge. Should be a ton of people there. But I'm really, really tired, so I don't know if I'll have any alcoholic beverages, or just, I think if I have one, I'll probably just fall asleep on a sofa in a corner somewhere. I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll have to have some caffeine. That's it. Take it easy. And the music in the background is from MusicAlley.com's Pod Save Music. This is 27 years with all I ever need. See ya.